Back to the outline, Matthew chapter 7. Are you ready for the word this morning? Amen. Have you ever said to yourself, I can't believe the pastor just did that? Have you ever said that before? How about you've ever said, I can't believe that he just said that? There are a few of these I think I might have shared before. I have a whole litany of them that I can refer to. An ROTC director, or instructor rather, Colonel Gerald Wellman said, quote, we don't necessarily discriminate, we simply exclude certain types of people. A former Australian cabinet minister said, traditionally, most of Australia's imports come from overseas. I mean, you know what, Australia? Yeah, you got it, okay. A favorite of mine, Joe Theismann, great quarterback for the Redskins years ago, and a sports analyst said, the word genius isn't applicable in football. A genius is a guy like Norman Einstein. I love this announcement from Social Services in 1992. Your food stamps will be stopped effective March 1992 because we received notice that you passed away. May God bless you. You may reapply if there is a change in your circumstances. How many love the government, huh? They are running our world. Isn't it great? And poor Dan Quayle, he couldn't get by with anything. Dan Quayle said, I love California. I practically grew up in Phoenix. So there you have it. Now all of you moan, and I purposely placed that one at the close because as a Phoenician for 27 years of my adult life, I understand what he meant by that. To us, Phoenix, to Southern Cal especially, is a very endearing place in the world because we'd get away in the hot of the summer and head over to the beaches and just enjoy Southern Cal. So when you would be talking about California, you could very easily say, I love California because I grew up or spent so much time in Phoenix. But how many of you know the media would never allow Dan Quayle to get a break in any way? And so certainly they wouldn't do it in that context. Jesus was known for giving us some pretty interesting statements now and then, and enough that even several books have been written on some of the most difficult phrases and statements that Jesus made. And today, I think, is one of them. I said early in our walk through the Sermon on the Mount that one of the good things of this, call it a study, call it whatever you'd like, but a sermon series going through the Word of God, a chapter, three chapters as this is, what is good about it is we can't skip anything. We can't say, well, that just kind of bothers me or confuses me or whatever. And as we come to the verse today, this one single verse, some like to take it and just have it stand completely alone in the middle of his sermon. And whether you do that or take it right in the context, obviously, we come to a very interesting admonition from Jesus. He has told us not to worry. He's just told us not to judge. And now he says in one single verse, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. I have two friends that I care for very much, thank God for. They are interesting to me because they both share an amazing passion to bring their friends, their relationships, their neighbors, their co-workers into a relationship with Christ. Phenomenally, in my opinion, gifted in this area, although I believe we're all called to be salt and light. We looked at that weeks ago. But the interesting thing to me about these two friends is that they are so different in their personalities. If I was to bring them together, I've often thought about this as I've just thought about their incredible heart for the lost, but if I brought these two together in a room, it'd be like oil and water. I mean, they just are so very, very different from one another. The one, about 20 years ago, turned his entire basement into a game room, having no children of his own, he and his wife. But he turned it into a game room. And back in those days, he went out and got the old arcade-type style of video games and pinball machine, ping pong, pool table, all of it. He just, a large house, large a basement, and he turned it into a game room in order to invite the neighbors in. And he just, the kids in that neighborhood would come and they just hang out and build relationships with them. Later, when I found out a little bit more about his journey and in faith, I realized why he did this or what probably planted a seed in his heart because his father, back in the 1950s, did this to their basement when he was a kid. Matter of fact, his dad, in the 1950s, built bleachers into the wall, and then as you would sit in those bleachers, he would paint, the walls were painted that you felt that you were at a big league diamond, kind of like Busch Stadium or something, you know? I did that for you. Now, come on. You know, And that's it right there. But I did that for you. And they're doing very well, and I applaud you. Okay, so anyway, 2-1. They're going to win the series, and I will humbly bless you when they do. But he said that all the neighborhood kids were invited. Matter of fact, his dad went so far that any kid that did not own a new ball glove, he bought brand new ball gloves for all the kids that would come into that basement from that neighborhood. And one by one, he taught them Bible stories there. And obviously, he said as a kid, we were the talk of the town, you know, because they loved us because of our dad. And he would load them up in the station wagon, and he would take multiple trips to church, and he would bring those kids. And then one by one, they came to know Christ back in those 50s. Incredible. My other story or friend is a gal that has many stories she's told me through the years. And I just love the way she works, if you will, the harvest field. And she told me years ago the story of a friend of hers by the name of Cindy. And Cindy, she later found out, was a Jehovah's Witness. And she just began to reach out to Cindy. And basically what she did, she would bake either cookies or bread. And she would take it over to Cindy, began a relationship with her. And then they would sit and play dominoes together. And they did this literally for a 5-year period. And she never once brought up Jesus. She never once brought up the Bible. She never once brought up her faith. She just for 5 years baked her bread or cookies, played dominoes with her, and prayed for a friend. Now, many of us here, I know, would be quick to maybe judge her, to think, 5 years. But how many of you know last week we learned we don't judge at Central Assembly? Let me see your hand. All right, so we're not going to judge. But I know some of you would think, but wait a minute. You have to be expressive about this faith of ours. I mean, how on earth could you wait? Let 5 years go by. And I remember Shirley sharing with me how she was sensitive to the Lord's leading, and she just kept feeling all I need to do is bake my bread, play dominoes with her, and pray for her. Well, the silence was broken one night when she said that she had her head down and her friend sitting across from her playing dominoes on a Sunday night all of a sudden said, "Why is it that when preachers touch someone sometimes on the forehead, they fall down?" And she looked up 5 years into their relationship and said, "Where'd you see that? What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, I saw it on television." And that began to open up a dialogue of faith that led to the day that finally she invited Cindy to go to church with her. And she very strategically did it, very wise. She said, I took her from New York State over the border into Pennsylvania on a Sunday evening service. And I prayed about it. God, where would be the best kind of place for her from a Jehovah's Witness background to go into an evangelical church? And so she chose the church. They went there. They had their song, time of worship and music. And then she said that there was the greet time, and she didn't know why she even said it, but she just said to the lady who turned around in front of them, "This is my friend Cindy. She's a Jehovah Witness, and we're just here to kind of check out your service." And the lady just lit up like a light bulb and said, "I was raised Jehovah Witness, and my husband was raised Jehovah Witness, but when we found Jesus, we've never been the same. I'm so glad you're here." And she turned right around and sat down. And my friend said, "I couldn't have had a better witness in all the world." And it wasn't long after that Shirley picked up the phone one night, and it was Cindy on the other end, and she said, "Shirley, I felt you should be the first to know. I just gave my heart to Jesus Christ." And she'd wondered the Lord. Now, I tell you about the baseball basement and about the baking and praying and playing dominoes to help us with the context here. Matthew 7. There's interesting characters here. There's dogs and pigs, pearls and us. All right? "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." Dogs were not domesticated in the sense of our day in this context, more like mongrels that just kind of ran around scavengers in the neighborhoods. Pigs were pigs in the Greek. Pretty profound, isn't it? But they were detestable to the Jews, of course, because of the law. And then pearls, of course, are valuables. And obviously here, Jesus is not taking us into the world of the animal kingdom for some great reason. Because once again, he's using a vivid picture, really using hyperbole to bring across something very spiritual. And I realize some of you love your dogs. We have a saying around our home that my wife loves Sophie, our little dog, more than she loves us. Some of you feel for us right now. All right? My girls say that. We all say it. But we know better. Basically. But I know many of you love your dogs, but dogs and things sacred really don't go together. And I realized the Pope 20 years ago came out with a statement that dogs have souls, and that just riveted through the Catholic Church and all kinds of confusion. I'm not here to debate any of that today. All I know is this: Jesus was not saying about sacred things and those mongrels that scavengered around the neighborhood. And obviously, as we look at pigs, you just can't imagine taking a lovely string of pearls. It meant value. So a valuable, real, genuine, authentic pearls, and throwing them into a pig pen. Clearly, Jesus is talking here of spiritual things. And it might be a bit confusing when we look at last week's message, because Jesus just said, do not judge, but now apparently he's telling us to discern what we're doing with something very precious to us and those that we do it to. Matter of fact, really, it's obviously talking about faith, the sacred, that you and I hold very dear to our hearts. Matter of fact, Jesus called the kingdom of God is what? Like a great pearl that is worth such value that we would go and, he said, sell everything you have in order to gain that pearl of great price. It's an analogy they use, and now he's speaking of the sacred and talking about us throwing something like that to pigs. So basically, he's saying, don't take what is sacred or holy and give it to someone who will not value it. If anything, maybe mock it. And with an added warning, he says, that they may in turn even get up and trample on the treasure you've given them. They may even turn on you and get really nasty with you. And I think as we look at that, we begin to get a picture that has all too often been the case. So Jesus is drawing a tough line here, and I'd like to ask you three questions as we look at this. The first one is, do we see this kind of line drawn in Scripture? And I think this is first and foremost because Jesus' teaching, but also the way that he lived his faith and taught it to us. Just four chapters later, he sent out the 12 disciples into towns and villages and to preach the kingdom. And many of you may recall, he gave them a lengthy expose of instruction. This is what you are to do as you go town to town, village to village, proclaiming this good news of the kingdom. And the very first thing he told them is, you are not to go to the Gentiles, and you're not even to go to the Samaritans, half Jew and half Gentile, basically an ethnic race, but I want you to only go to the lost sheep of Israel. Now there was drawing a pretty strong line. And he told them as they go, don't take anything with you. Don't take a purse. Don't take anything that you carry, anything with you. Everywhere you go, your needs are going to be met and supplied then as you go forward. And then he even said this, as you enter a home, give it your greeting. But he said, if the home is deserving, let it lay there in peace. But if it's not deserving, then let your peace return to you. Now he just had said, don't judge to those disciples. A few chapters later, as he sends them out, he says, you're going to know when you go into a home, you can judge that home, whether you let your peace remain there or you take it back with you. Look at what he said. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Pretty straightforward talk here. He was drawing a line. Then we watch Jesus on another occasion, Matthew 11. It says that he began to denounce the cities that he had gone, and he had done incredible miracles to them. Cities like Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. And he said that these cities will stand a heavy judgment, basically the same word, like Sodom of old. He said they will receive a severe judgment than Sodom because the Son of God came from heaven in their midst, performed great miracles, and they did not turn to him. So again, Jesus is drawing a strong line. It's interesting the moment that he stood before King Herod of Antipas. And King Herod, of course, Pilate had handed Jesus to him because he was in his jurisdiction. And as Jesus stood before King Herod, it says that Herod wanted to meet him. He had heard so much about Jesus, and so he was so looking forward that he began to just pepper Jesus with questions. And Jesus stood there and did not answer a single time. He just stood there in silence. And then Herod turned on him, and his soldiers called them, and they began to mock him, and then they put the robe upon him, and that began the trial of Jesus then. And I find that very interesting because we know how incredibly kind and compassionate Jesus is and was. And we know on so many occasions as people came to him that he would melt and his heart would minister to them. And to think how strong he was, he must have known what was in Herod's heart. And so he didn't even answer him a single time. And then we come to Acts 13 as an example of the apostles, and we see this line drawn in many examples throughout Acts and throughout really the writings of the apostles, the epistles. But Paul in Acts 13 preached a lengthy message at the synagogue in Pisidian Antioch. And a week later it says that he went back again. Paul went back to the synagogue and he's ready to preach. And the crowd is so large that the Jewish people were in an uproar and they were very upset. They were growing jealous over the message and looked at what Paul was beginning to build. And Paul then turned to them and said, because you have rejected the message, I'm drawing the line here. I'm going to go to the Gentiles and leave you. And when he did, it says the Gentiles just ate up. They swallowed up the gospel that he was giving. But Paul drew a line, same thing he did in Corinth. And so do we ever see a line drawn in Scripture in this way? Taking that is sacred, that is holy to us, and being cautious with it, you better believe we do. We see it. So the second question would be for us, when might we draw the line? Because we hold a great spiritual treasure. It's our pearl. And we know simply pull this one verse of Scripture, not only out of context of the Sermon on the Mount, but pretty much out of Scripture in itself. And we know that'd be a very dangerous thing. And yet the truth is this. The bottom line, some will outright refuse and reject spiritual treasure. And you know, the fact is you can't force them. You can't coerce them. Put your sword away. The Crusades are over, okay? And many times for us, we may want to manipulate, we may want to somehow, you know, play with it. And we've seen situations like that. And here's the bottom line. No one can manipulate you or me into faith in Christ that's true faith. It is something that we have to, on our own accord, our own heart, choose in our lives that we are going to follow him. And so bottom line, we can't trick them. And many will just reject. Some will play with it, simply play or argue spiritual treasure. And I've been there with many through the years. And I've had my heart just wrenched sometimes with someone that I'm trying, as Paul said, he would do all he could do to convince men about Christ. And I've been there. Probably many of you have been there. And there are times that you know, really, they just know enough Bible that all they want to do is debate and play with you. And they're really not serious about a debate or a discussion on faith. They just simply want to play around with it, argue the case. Many people are like that. Others hear me. Others are right here among us. And there are some that are supposedly sharing the same treasure that we share, and yet they play with their faith. Matter of fact, lines are drawn heavy in the Scriptures of warnings. Paul warned those that are divisive, those that would bring division in a church. And Paul said, you warn a divisive brother once, and then you warn him twice, and then you have nothing to do with him. Matter of fact, he said, don't even associate with him. Don't eat with the man. So a very strong word of drawing the line of those that play with our faith. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Again, about those that hold this treasure. He said, now I'm writing to you about to not associate with someone who calls himself a brother and yet is sexually immoral or greedy or an idolater or slanderer or drunkard or swindler. With such a man, do not eat. Now listen to this. Think of last week, Jesus saying, do not judge. And we know what that meant. It has to do with condemning and you setting yourself up as judge, because we have our own issues. We have the mote in our eye versus picking the little splinters out of their eye, Jesus said. And yet Paul went on to say this. What business is it of yours or mine to judge those in the world? He said, are we not to judge those inside, meaning in the church? God will judge those outside. Expel that wicked man from your fellowship, from the church. And that man was involved in an incredible, horrible type of immorality I won't even go into. But Paul was saying, how can you allow that? He called it a little bit of leaven that works its way through the whole batch of dough. And so there are times that we draw the line, apparently even judging. Third is that some will subtly distract and detour others from spiritual treasure. One theologian put it this way. If we spend all of our time with those that are rejecting the gospel, he said we have to remember the principle and look at how white the fields are. And Jesus said they're ripe unto harvest. And what did he say? Pray the Lord the harvest and to send forth laborers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so this theologian looks at this text, this single verse, and says it's telling us that there are times that we may have to draw a line with a person, with a city, with a location, with whatever the setting is that we've gone into, and we may have to in turn then go to those that have never heard of this great treasure that we hold. So pretty important ways to draw the line. So here's a third question I have for us this morning. What are the keys then to drawing this line? And I think these are attitudes that we need to think about this morning. The first one is to extend the mercies that we share. That we be extending of the mercies that we share. How many of you have ever heard the story of someone who rejected God over and over again? Someone that their heart was so hard, and maybe they had a friend, they had a relative, they had a neighbor, they had a coworker, someone that constantly was sharing their faith with them, and they held and they held and they held. And then all of a sudden, one day, just like that, their heart opened wide and they came to a faith in Christ. You ever known someone like that? I've known many, many people like that. I think we need to remember that. Jesus isn't saying here to not be free with his treasure that he's given to us. Matter of fact, when he sent the disciples forth there in Matthew chapter 10, he said to them, freely you have received what? Freely give. The whole heart of Jesus is that what we have from him, we shouldn't be holding back on. So this is not something, and many may take it and overreact and say, well, see, I'm drawing lines. I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine. I'm not going to take that to sacred and give it to dogs. And then they hang on to that treasure. Jesus wanted us to be free. Aren't you thankful for how patient he was with you? I sure am with me. Matter of fact, there's a story of a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, obviously, who came to Jesus. She's from the region of Tyre. And it says she came and she said, Lord, please, my daughter is demon-possessed. Would you please help her? And scripture says Jesus just ignored her. He didn't even listen. He didn't say a word to her. And the disciples came and said, Master, do you want us to get her away from you? We know she's bothering you. And Jesus at that point said, I have come only for the lost sheep of Israel. Strong line he was drawing. The woman then fell to her knees and she cried out to him and said, Lord, help me. And Jesus said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to toss it to their dogs. And the woman said, yes, but teacher, the dogs do get the crumbs that fall off the table. And Jesus said, woman, your faith is great. Your answer to prayer has been done. And her daughter was delivered of that demonic possession. Now we look at that and many would take an offense to Jesus. How could he do that? But when we understand the context, number one, that Jesus, first of all, knew. He made it very clear. He had come to the lost sheep of Israel. He himself, a Jew, came to the Jews. Paul later emphasized this to the Romans. He said, first I go to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. Salvation is of the Jews, Jesus said. When he talked to the Samaritan woman, he made it very clear of what he was called of the Father to do. But Jesus also knew, and the day came that he stood and said, you will be empowered with the Holy Spirit, what we'll talk about tonight, and you will be my witnesses only in Jerusalem. Is that what Jesus said? No, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to all the uttermost parts of the earth. So Jesus knew what would happen in time, but he also knew the mission that his Father had sent him on. I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel. But you know what we see in that story? We see that even the one that may in our minds be over the line for us, when the heart cry of a person is to know God, God's heart melts. And Jesus at that moment turned to her and said, woman, your faith is great. He couldn't reject her. He couldn't not, in response, his heart just went. And he gave her what she desired. So the first thing is certainly we need to extend the mercies that we share. The second thing, briefly, is we need to be aware of the sacred that we share. And to miss this, I believe we've missed the whole point. We steward a great treasure. Hear me, everyone today, if you have Jesus, then you have that pearl. You have that treasure. We steward that treasure. It's an incredible responsibility. The kingdom of God is within us. We're to be kingdom builders, every single one of us. And we have to then treasure it and think about what we're doing with it and be diligent about it and, again, strategic with it. And even sometimes when it comes to that treasure, it is so incredibly valuable that Jesus is saying there may be a time you have to draw a line with how people respond to the treasure that you are offering to them. So the third thing is we have to be discerning of the mockers that we face. Obviously, do not judge doesn't mean don't be discerning. Clearly, Jesus is saying we need to. Matter of fact, that's probably the message he's giving us here. That indeed, at times we do judge. We need to be mindful of what's happening in a spiritual setting. When he sent out the 12, this is part of what he said to them. He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as a snake and be as innocent as a dove. The word shrewd there means to be thoughtful, even to mean to be sensible or wise about things. You know, sometimes, church, we're not real sensible with what we're doing for God. There are times that we're not wise. I believe with the stewardship of our funds, I believe in the stewardship of our talents, our abilities, the stewardship of our time, and I'm sure many times for me, I am not wise with that in how I'm doing ministry, and I'm sure for many of us here, times we have to realize maybe we're not being wise as Jesus wants us to be. And so what he's saying is we need to be led with our hearts. We need to have the wisdom of God. We need to seek the Lord in how we steward this great treasure that we steward today. And that's why my friends, Jim and Shirley, unique to one another as they may be, one thing I see in both of them is that they're very strategic. They're very focused. They're very principled in how they take their treasure and they share it with others. Matter of fact, I remember when Shirley told me that story. She said, Jeff, over those 5 years, I just struggled. There were times I thought, Lord, I don't know what her future is. And she said, I always felt checked of the Lord. Just let it go. Just love her. Just spend time with her, play dominoes with her, and the day will come you're going to have that opportunity to present me to her. And sure enough, that day came. And as hard as that was, it was really a stratagem on her part. The question for us to close, really there's two questions I'd say. But the first question would be this. Before we draw a line, are we even doing anything with our treasure? See, because it's really easy for you and I to maybe judge a Jim or a Shirley. Or you might say, well, that would never be my ministry, but or I don't like the way that they went about that. But you know what? They have a heart to reach people with their treasure. And while we sit on the sidelines many times judging those that are out playing the game, the question is, are we in the game today? What are you and I doing when we walk out of these doors today to try to be part of the strategic plan that God has for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for those that are close to us? Matter of fact, I think that's really at the heart of it here. Jesus isn't telling us to hold on to our treasure. He's almost expecting that we are going to be doing something with the treasure. We're going to have our pearl. We're going to be throwing the pearl. He is warning us to use wisdom in how we do it. But he's expecting us to be part of the kingdom enterprise. Every one of us here today. So he's saying, when you do it, be very careful how you handle the sacred, how you handle those pearls that are cast. So let me ask you as we close this morning, do you have a strategy to the week that you're about to head into? I think all of us need to stop and consider that today. Our weeks go by like blurs, don't they, most of the time? We're so busy, there's so much going on. But is there a strategy that you and I have to this day, to this week? We hold that treasure in these jars of clay. Is there a strategic way that we approach daily those around us that don't know Christ? And even in that may be that you have to realize, you know, I have been throwing my pearls here for so long. Maybe the Lord is telling me now it's time to go to another field. It may be. But is there a strategy? Is there thought that goes into it? Do you see the fields that are there? And to say, Lord, help me be wise for you. The second question, obviously, is this. Do you have the pearl? Do you have the treasure? Because Jesus is understanding here, it's just a stated thought in his mind that those he's speaking to, they have the pearl and they have that sacred treasure that they hold. How about you today? If so, what are you doing with it? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? And no one looking about, if you will. And just for a moment, before we move from our seats, would you just take a moment and quiet yourself before God? And could I ask this morning, what is your strategy with the treasure that you hold? And is this a good reminder for you? But maybe as this message unfolded today, you realize you're thinking about your mission field. You're thinking about where God has placed you. You're thinking about your neighbors, your coworkers, maybe that relative that doesn't have a relationship with Christ as you do. And so you hold this incredible treasure. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be really wise with it. And maybe there's a change or something that he's expecting of you today. If that's you, in just a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to surrender that to God. But I'd ask this morning, is there anyone here and you say, Jeff, I don't have that treasure. Maybe you feel years ago, maybe you've just wandered into a church this morning, maybe a friend has brought you, maybe you've never before even heard really the message of Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins Everything we sing about leading us to the communion table this morning, that Christ paid that incredible price that our sins could be forgiven, that we could have life in Him. And that's you this morning. You say, Jeff, I would like to hold that treasure. I would like to receive that treasure. If that's you this morning, then I want to give you that opportunity right now. Is there anybody here, and you would join several in our early service today, you lift up your hand right now and say, Jeff, that's it. I don't need coerced. I just realized that Jesus died for me, and I want to have Him in my life, and I need my sins to be forgiven, and I want eternal life. That's what's so incredible about that treasure. When we hold that treasure, we hold life here and life to come. If that's you this morning, would you put up your hand? Anyone in this room, would you just put up your hand real quick? Let me see it. Anybody? Just put up. Just long enough that I can see it this morning. You say, Jeff, that's me. And God is speaking to your heart right now, and you respond saying, I do want to put my faith in Him this morning. Anyone? Anyone at all? I give you just a moment. Anyone at all? You put up that hand. I see that hand, young man. God bless you. Anybody else right now? You put up that hand. See, that's me. It's me, Jeff. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else? You put up that hand right now. This is a great moment. It's a sobering moment. Just as communion was earlier, this is as well, that we make a commitment, a decision for Him. Anyone else? You put up your hand right now. You say, that's me, Jeff. I want to ask Christ to come into my heart. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Could we pray together? Let's bow our heads or keep them bowed. And I'm just going to invite you as a whole church to pray. I know we did this earlier, but thank God for these that just raised their hand. Really, I think God's been speaking to our hearts all morning. And if you didn't even raise your hand, I don't care. It's a matter between you and God today. But if you say, Jeff, in my heart right now, I want to open my heart up to God, then just pray with us right now. Let's pray together. Out loud, everyone, can we pray? Dear God, I realize my sin. I believe You're my Savior. Please forgive me. Have mercy upon me. For I believe that Jesus came, that He died on the cross, He gave His life that I might be forgiven. Please come into my heart. Change me from the inside out, and I turn from my sins to receive You, Jesus. Help me follow You. In Jesus' name, let's all say amen this morning. Before we lift our heads, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you just raised your hand, I would encourage you today two things. In just a moment, there's going to be people across the front here that are available for prayer, and we're going to pray over needs that might be here this morning as we close the service. But if you would, I really would encourage you to step out from where you're at and join those that come forward in a little bit, and just pray with somebody. If you're a man today, just go to one of the men up here. If you're a woman, to go to one of the ladies, and just let them know what you just did, and let them pray with you again, just to cement this moment for you, and let them share with you a bit. If you're not comfortable with that today, right in front of you, there's a card, and on one side it says a prayer need, and on the other side of that same card, it has a place there that you can put your name and just let us know who you are. And you say, today's the day. And just kind of like signing the dotted line. You're just responding in that way of faith, saying, I've done this. I've made this decision today. And I'd encourage you just to fill that out, and just take it forward and hand it to one of these people. And they'll respect that, but at least that we just know today was your day. But before we leave this moment, I want to ask all of us that we would evaluate our hearts of the treasure we hold. Just for a moment, to imagine, as Jesus called it, that pearl, and that is sacred and holy to us, and that we're careful with it today. And could we pray a prayer? Could we just pray a prayer of response to this message, that God, help me to share Your treasure with others, to not be selfish with it, to not be just focused and thankful that I'm covered. And God, I have Your treasure, but to think of those around us that are void of this treasure, and the opportunities that are presented to us all the time, and that we not draw this line too quickly, too harshly, but rather we share all that we can until we know. Maybe there's a moment we have to judge and discern, and then we draw that line, but that we're active in His kingdom. If you would say with an amen this morning, Jeff, I want to be part of the kingdom of God and the enterprise of His in this earth. Would you say amen this morning? Amen. I do too. I do too. It's often easier for you and I to give in a faith promise to missions than it is to give of baked goods or to spend time playing dominoes with someone that needs Christ. It's often much easier for us to kind of just sequester ourselves on a weekly basis, 1, 2, 3 times together, than it is to get out of these walls and to have a heart and a strategy for the mission field that's all around us. But God wants both. He wants both. Would you pray with me right now? Prayer team, would you come forward and just come and stand across the front? If you have a need this morning, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And I'd invite you to come with your need. And again, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, to recommit your life to Him, I'd encourage you to come. But let's pray together in response to the Word today. Lord, open our eyes, we pray, to the mission field around us. I pray, God, that we will not be clenched-fisted with anything that You've given us, much less this great treasure and the pearls that we hold of eternal life. Jesus, thank You for what You've done in our lives, the mercy that You've extended. And I pray, Lord, that we would be merciful to share with others that You've shared with us, God. I do pray that we would be wise as well, Lord, as a church and wise as individuals. But, oh God, as we leave this place and these doors and walk back out into a car and go back to a neighborhood and go back into our week that's ahead, oh Lord, I pray that we would be so careful with that You've given us and that we would share it with others, we pray. And if that is Your heart today, would you say amen?